This is Andy Gutierrez from StarWars.com, and you are listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z. This is the podcast you're looking for.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
The creativity is just staggering. I think it's one thing to be creative for a while, but to be this creative, that is not an easy feat to do. I think, Dan, sometimes when you've talked about Michael Jordan, it's one thing to win one NBA championship, but to win six, so difficult. And to be this way with Dave Filoni and this whole crew, it just strikes me. They have been creative for four straight years, and that is, it's one thing to do it for a few episodes, but to do it for 4 years is unreal.
I love that Michael Jordan compares, just like in Jordan's last game when he fakes out Byron Russell, which I still think was not a foul.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello and welcome to show number 113 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation Coffee, the official coffee of Coffee with Kenobi. Be sure to order coffee from our new sponsor today. It smells amazing and tastes even better. Check out www.onenationcoffee.com to get your morning started off the right way. Thank you for joining me today as we sit back and have some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, Angela Soss and Nick Deco join us to talk about Jon Favreau producing and writing an all-new Star Wars live-action television series, as well as a look back at Star Wars Rebels and its impact on Star Wars mythology. Nick shares what's going on in the world of Star Wars video games. Tom brings us the latest Star Wars news, and we catch up with Jedi News brand director James Burns. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Thanks to everybody for their feedback on these Facebook Live possibilities, as well as ways to add to our Patreon page. We're also thinking about a live call-in show option, which I think would be interesting, but I do have some pretty huge news for Patreon contributors, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in our Patreon section later on in the show. But we're going to have an exclusive show for Patreon listeners, and it's going to be weekly, and it's going to have some very, very special guests that you will definitely remember if you're a longtime listener of Coffee with Kenobi. What do I love about shaving with Harry's? Well, the razor is great. I get an awesome shave, and it's just a really, really easy, simple way to do it. I don't have to worry about running and grabbing extra blades or having to worry about finding different gel or anything like that, because it's all there. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy are these two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, and they started Harry's to fix shaving. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features like the vibrating handle, heating blades, fitting lubricating strips, etc., and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry's owns the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/CWKFamily. You just pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. A $13 value for free when you sign up, just cover your shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/CWKFamily right now. That's harrys.com/CWKFamily.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is a Star Wars fan and an educator, Angela Soss.
Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for having me here today, Dan.
Well, thank you. We have been hearing your name for quite some time, and now I know that the correct way to pronounce your name. One thing I always emphasize to my students is that names are very sacred and important. So thank you so much for tolerating me all this time.
No problem. I am very used to it.
A well-known fellow around Coffee with Kenobi, and you just can't get enough of his awesomeness with video games. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Angela. No, thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Yes, Nick, always a pleasure to have you on Coffee with Kenobi. We are going to start off the show. Star Wars Rebels, of course, the finale was not too far from today when we were recording this, but there's still so much to sort of digest and embrace over this wonderful show that's been so impactful on Star Wars canon. And thanks, everybody, for your kind words on the IGN article I wrote on the importance of Star Wars Rebels to the canon, because there's really so much there. And if you haven't ever really watched Star Wars Rebels as a fan, I think you really need to
go back and check it out, because I think it's must viewing. And so what do the two of you think of the finale and sort of what it added to the series overall?
I was glad to see your article that you wrote about how Rebels falls into canon and how critical it is to canon, because like you mentioned, so many have kind of dismissed Rebels as that's a kid's show, that's a rating of Y7, that's really not going to be crucial to the Star Wars story and the universe. But your article really does delineate where all the pieces of Rebels fall into canon and how critical the series was to the Star Wars story and the universe at large. So I was really glad to see that.
Well, hey, thank you so very much. I really appreciate that. And I know you particularly, there were some emotions with this finale, weren't there?
Very much so. I wish I could better explain where that comes from. I wasn't expecting Rebels to take such hold when it did. I was one of those that was kind of skeptical coming off of Clone Wars, like so many. And Clone Wars wasn't even one of my favorite installments. I really liked it. I thought it was great and appreciated it, but it wasn't my favorite by any means. So I was skeptical about Rebels coming out. But for some reason, it took hold. It ate my brain. I haven't looked back ever since it dropped in 2014. But for some reason, it really was impactful. And I really fell in love with the story. It was something about it was so similar to how I felt when I first got into the Star Wars fandom as a little girl with the very first time I watched A New Hope. Something about Rebels is similar to that. I wish I could put my finger on it.
No, I know what you're saying. It's very much like the family, the non-nuclear family that comes together and sometimes has a stronger bond than an actual blood family. And Nick, this is great because you've obviously been on the show a number of times, but this is the first time you're actually hosting the show with us. So I'm very excited to not only talk with you, of course, but to talk to you about Star Wars, not only in video games, but just all across the genre in particular.
Thanks. No, yeah, me too. And I think just pivoting off like the relevance of Rebels in terms of like the broader scope of things, it just kind of goes to show the surprises that still wait in storytelling from Lucasfilm and from Disney. Like, I don't think many of us, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, when you look back when Rebels began, could have really seen this, you know, phenomenon that it became.
Not at all.
You know, through Celebration and through, you know, the wrapping up of the series and how emotional, but also how bought in we all were with these characters that when you first started, it was totally different than Clone Wars, right? We all knew those characters. We all knew where that was going to go.
Right.
But we did not know that Rogue One was coming. We did not know that, these big events were going to be played out on the small screen that would have us looking for things on the big screen. And so, I'm happy to be here and talk about stuff and video games and Star Wars and all the great things that we love so much to talk about on Twitter.
Yes. Well, what do the two of you attribute? You mentioned the comparison between Rebels and Clone Wars, and it's definitely a very, very important, interesting thing to do because they're similar. But the main differences to me, of course, is that Rebels was allowed to have a beginning, middle, and end, which I think is so crucial to authentic storytelling. And it will never perhaps maybe ever know what Dave had planned for how Clone Wars would have played out had it gone the way that it did, even though it was still a really wonderful. I mean, I remember how devastated I was that Clone Wars was canceled and we didn't even get a chance to really tell it goodbye, similar to Admiral Ackbar and The Last Jedi, really.
But,
right. But I think the thing for me about Rebels has been the accessibility of the cast. And, you know, even without this show, I just know like at conventions or on other podcasts or just the interviews that they do, they're just sincere people and they really have a bond with one another. There are just so many metacognitive things about the cast and how they record and how they relate to each other and the mentorship that Freddie has with Taylor and you know, with Tia and just how they connect. It's very similar to their characters in real life, like life imitating art, imitating life. And to me, that has been one of the things that's always kind of accentuated the show.
It made it very real. It was like you were saying that the family you choose and how it all became a part of, you bring these characters in, and I think there was a lot of growth for the characters, especially if you have bought into it, if you read the novel that preceded Rebels, I think A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller, and you see the growth of the characters from that point through the series as they bring on more members of the Ghost crew and come in, and then you end up with that conclusion, which really wraps things up. What unfortunately Clone Wars didn't get to do, you really got to see the care that was taken in the development of the characters and the story and where they were going. And I certainly didn't see where it was all going when this started. We had no idea where they were going to go with it. It's really, I think that's part of the emotion of it, is seeing how far it's come and seeing that beginning, middle, and end that has made it so powerful.
Yeah, no, I agree. And actually, I was thinking of something, Dan, when you were saying how accessible the actors are and just the storyboard team. You know, even, you know, looking at, you know, everything the Star Wars show does and just the accessibility from Lucasfilm, just about Rebels itself, but then you kind of translate that to how even the actors on Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and the directors and everybody really makes this conscious push to connect with the fans and the audience and the public, which, you know, this is a different time and era. This is the time of Facebook and Twitter and, you know, 24-hour news media that's on, you know, that's just always on with stuff. And, you know, whereas, you know, just, you know, earlier this, you know, just, you know, century, you know, we had the prequel trilogy come out. But I mean, I don't remember this as vividly, but, you know, because probably we didn't have all of these accessibility points. There wasn't Twitch. There wasn't, you know, Skype and these opportunities to talk to all your favorite actors, for them to be in front of you all the time, that, you know, they were not, I wouldn't say aloof, but they weren't there. And there wasn't a big, you know, the big public push to get them in front of people. It would just be through your regular television channels and, and maybe just starting off on internet articles and things like that. But I wonder if you guys think that has to do, you know, maybe a little bit with how we view the stuff that's coming out now, maybe in a better light, I would say. Not saying the prequels are less than, but
no.
Why maybe folks don't look at it as such, because there wasn't that public push. There wasn't, you know, this accessibility to people. And then you start connecting with folks, and as you guys were saying earlier, you get to see how much time and effort and how hard it is to make these movies, right? Like, I remember looking at Revenge of the Sith, the behind-the-scenes stuff, and just really kind of seeing that, you know, how hard is it to really act on a green screen, right? Like, that's going to be incredibly difficult to do your whole movie, and it's just in your head, right? Like, and you really didn't take that into account until you get to take the time to look at those things, but... I was wondering, what do you guys think? Is that maybe my stretching, or
I think that's a great point that the accessibility of everything, like on the Blu-rays, the DVDs, the extras, you get to go behind the scenes. You get to see what was put into it. You see what went from a storyboard to the actual shooting of the film. And I think you're right with the social media and internet and how we're able to actually access so much of this material and the people involved and see their process that we didn't get to see 20, 30, 40 years ago. I think that definitely brings it a lot closer to home.
Star Wars has always been on the cutting edge of what's going on in technology and entertainment. When Episode 1 came out, it was when StarWars.com really became Star Wars. I mean, it was when it was created, essentially. And they had the club called the Hyperspace Fan Club, which you could join.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of cool things. I spent a lot of time on those message boards. In fact, I interacted with Pablo before I even knew who Pablo was.
Wow.
Which is pretty neat.
Nice.
You know, of course, I'm sure he does not remember that at all. But I do. You know, and you know, you could change your little avatars, and I was always one of the little Ken or Han Solo from Hoth ones, and they're just little fun memories there. But one of the things I really remember is that they had a hyperspace cam where you could be, which was on the set of Episode 1, and that was a neat thing because, you know, even though you had no clue what they were showing, they certainly weren't giving away anything important at all. You just kind of felt connected. Now we fast forward to Twitter. You know, in Clone Wars, James Earl Taylor and Cad Tabor and a lot of the actors, Ashley Eckstein, of course, they've all, and Matt Lynn, they were all so cool and so friendly, especially like on Rebel Force Radio and other podcasts. When you hear them, you kind of felt like you were a part of something with them, like they were a part of this world with you. And then Twitter, I think, like you both said, that took it to a whole other level. And I think at its core, all of these things for the animated stuff, of course, comes from Dave Filoni, who was every bit as charming as you see him on TV or online. He cares about this stuff, and he's got this good little whimsy to him. He likes to kind of mess with you. And I love that because that's what a bard would have done, you know, thousands of years ago. That's what storytelling was about. And it's great.
He definitely did that. That's for sure.
Oh my goodness. Well, and speaking of storytelling, before we end this first segment, we haven't really talked on Coffee with Kenobi about Jon Favreau and this amazing news that he is taking over and writing and producing a live action Star Wars television show. It's going to go direct to the Disney streaming service next year. We have no date. We have no plot. We have no anything. We just know that he is at the wheel of this. This is great news, I think, to me. I've always liked Jon Favreau. He's responsible for the tone of the original Iron Man and a number of other things, Disney's live-action Jungle Book. So he's great. He's great. He's a huge Star Wars fan, too, which always helps. But what do the two of you think of this, and what would you like to see from a live-action TV series?
Oh, man, that is a big bag of worms. I mean, live-action, I think people have been asking for this for a while. Why can't we have a live action? Star Trek's had their turn. Can we have it too? We could all be the animated ones. I think it's probably a mixed bag. I think there's excitement and then there's that trepidation of, oh, what are we going to get? Everybody hopes it's going to be good. Is it going to last? Is it going to be, you know, a single season? Are we going to turn into the next Firefly? We don't know. You know, I think there's a lot of potential there. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. It could be anything.
Yeah, no, I'm, as always, I'm definitely more excited to have more Star Wars things than less Star Wars things. I think Angela and I were talking about earlier, like having grown up in the dark ages of the 80s and 90s, where there's nothing out there. And you're just scouring for books, you know, but now we have all these great things and it's a great time to be alive. So I think for me, in the news of him coming on board, I'm excited. He's a Queens boy, born and raised like myself, from New York. And it's always nice to see little boys from Queens get some recognition on the big stage besides, you know, Iron Man and Marvel movies, but Star Wars, it's awesome. So, and he's a great storyteller and he has, I think he can do some interesting things with a live action TV series, that maybe he can pull some of those larger storytelling arcs that he's had a chance to work with the Marvel universe in. And so for me, I would like to see personally, I've been watching Star Trek Discovery, on the CBS Access, cause my wife has to have access to Big Bang Theory. And so, you know, luckily for me, she is paying for that. We're paying for that channel. And so happened I get to watch Discovery. And I will say that is probably one of my favorite series right now that's on television. And if you have the extra, whatever it is, a month, $5 a month or something to pay to get that app and watch that show, I would highly recommend it. Because if he can do a show like that and really kind of bring moralistic, relative to modern day things, but at the same time keep it very grounded in the essentials of Star Wars and really opening up a whole new world for us, I think would be fantastic. But I will say the only thing I am not surprised, but I am still kind of surprised, we've had a lot of new directors come on board, a lot of new writers and folks capped for this. But I personally am still waiting for the first woman director or the first person of color director or writer or producer to be notable, to be tapped for something like this. And that's not to say he won't do a good job, but I think we've seen such amazing stories coming out of Wrinkle in Time and Black Panther. And, you know, just, you know, we've had such fantastic now diversity of women and people of color on the big screen for Star Wars that, I think the time is really now for Star Wars to kind of put this diversity and inclusion and equity mindset in the forefront of their decision making.
It's really the last segment that they need to approach. I mean, like you said, they've done a wonderful job the past three movies, especially with adding to diversity and changing it around to making this you know, more of an equal playing field, to be honest. And, you know, when you get to the point where when you see a Rey or a Jyn Erso or a Sabine Wren or a Hera Syndulla, and you don't think anything other than this is an awesome character, I think that is the goal. I would assume you don't say, oh, there's a girl. Oh, there's a guy. No, there's a character. And they're a great character, and they're important. And hey, when you look at a little bit further, look, they're representing everything. You know, what was it that Frances McDormand said when she won her Oscar? You know, you had to add, what was the term she used? Inclusion. There's a certain inclusion factor that she wanted to put people to put into.
Inclusion writer, right?
Inclusion writer, yes, of course.
Inclusion writer.
Inclusion writer, where you make sure in your contract you have to have a certain amount of people of color. You have to have a certain amount of women. You have to have diversity. You have to have a percentage that represents the population. And I would love to see Star Wars go in that direction. I honestly believe in my heart that they will. And I just don't, it obviously hasn't happened yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't.
And there's not a formula for it either.
Right.
It's not a list. Yeah. Lattes with Leia was just talking about this in their latest episode, that diversity and how you want it to represent the world around you, that, you know, it's not a system of checkboxes, because that looks too contrived, but you definitely, you want it to be this natural that, like you said, Dan, it's not, oh, there's a woman, there's a person of color, there's the character. And I relate to this character because maybe it's, you know, it has nothing to do with their appearance or where they're from, but maybe it's the job they're doing.
Right.
That you're relating to it in a much different level than those traditional physical appearances that we've gotten so stuck on. I think that would be a really great transition. I think that Star Wars definitely has the setup to do it. I think that's what we're wanting to see, kind of an organic transition into that, because I think it's all the elements are there.
Look, really quickly, I'm going to give you about 15 seconds and tell me what you would most like to see in a live action Star Wars television series, and what you would least like to see. Now, I'm talking about from a specific plot or era or character standpoint. And if you want to think about it, I'll go first. Is that what you'd like, or do you think you have something?
Go first, Dan. That's
okay.
Too much pressure.
Yeah, you go first, Dan. You go first. Yeah, give me a second here to think about this.
I like
it. It's a loaded question.
It's fun. Okay. The thing I think I would most like to see, I don't really want anything in the original trilogy to be touched. And I'm not ready for them to go into stuff from the First Order and the Resistance, because episode 9 isn't out yet, and they need to let that play out. So I think it would be really cool to have something in the Star Wars Rebels time frame, not necessarily with those characters per se, but, you know, there's a number of things that happened. You know, obviously we've got the Rebel cell that we know of, but there are other things that are going on. Or how about tackling the period from when Ezra disappears to Return of the Jedi? You know, there's a lot of meat there as well.
Sure.
As far as things I don't want to see, I don't want to see some sort of a mafia Coruscant underbelly bounty hunter show. I don't want that. I mean, that was what the original live action show was supposed to be about with all the scripts were written. That never sounded appealing to me. Of course, I would have watched it, or at least started to watch it. But I just hope that they don't go in that direction.
I would piggyback and say I would 100% support anything that goes along that Rebels timeline, just because that is just foremost in my mind and on my mind a lot at the moment, with all of it just wrapping up and definitely where my momentum is. I would agree also that let's not touch that original trilogy. We don't know what's yet happening with the latter trilogy. We don't have episode 9 yet. But it would be really interesting to see. And I know, isn't Dave Filoni also working on another animated series that is in the works? So we don't know yet. Maybe I don't know. So I thought, okay, it would be really neat to see what happens to Ezra and Thrawn, and you know, what happens at the end of the conclusion of Rebels. I would be all over anything Rebels being live action, but now that they've kind of wrapped that, that's probably a done deal. Some people might be really interested. I'm not sure I am, but I know the people that were big into Star Wars The Old Republic, into that video game, and Nick, sure. maybe you have some insight on this as well. They might like something, you know, back in the kind of those older days, you know, the original transition, you know, where we got the Jedi and the Sith and some of those really old stories. I'm not sure I would be as interested, but who knows? I didn't think I was going to fall in love with Rebels, and I did. So I know I'm open to anything that comes out. Star Wars is Star Wars. Let's take a gander at it.
Yeah, no, Angela, I think that's definitely one of the things I always see on the video game forums, whether it's Battlefront or the mobile games, folks are always clamoring for more Old mm-hmm. Republic characters and stories. And
sure.
so I'm like yourself, though. Yeah, not even, I mean, there's still the Old Republic games that are still out, and they still add on some patches or some additions to that every so often. But yeah, in terms of like storytelling wise, like a show or a movie, or you know, there's some books and stuff. There's not a lot. So I mean, I think for me, I wouldn't be as interested either in that. But I know there is an appetite for it just from the subsect of folks that I interact with through video games. But
what would you want to see? Yeah.
I would love to see like a National Geographic style kind of like animals of the Star Wars galaxy that's like narrated by C-3PO. Like that would be so amazing. Like you can do stuff about like the Tauntauns and the Porgs, and you could just hear his voice the whole time. We would just bankrupt Lucasfilm there with that endeavor probably. I actually wouldn't mind seeing, stuff closer to the rise of the First Order and the fall of the New Republic. So along that bloodline spectrum.
Aftermath and things like that?
Way after Aftermath, but before you get like to A Force Awakens, a little before that, maybe like you kind of understand you know, where the Republic fell apart and the First Order rose. Not maybe like doing what Rebels did, you know, what Rebels did, which is not hit everything like on the nose, on the head of the nail, like not really telling you and beating you over the head with here's how things go on, but kind of leaving stuff open to interpretation. I think that'd be kind of cool.
I love that idea.
And would help us kind of understand more of where the First Order came from and why the Republic failed. But I guess what I wouldn't want to see besides that National Geographic style show would be anything that that goes back to having stories that we know, not necessarily know the ending to, but you know, or have, you know, necessarily characters that we're familiar with. So I love the Clone Wars, but Rebels, you know, they did a great job with folks we don't know, and I think that's the same thing to say with the sequel trilogy, is that yes, we know Han, yes, we know Luke and Chewie and Leia and these characters, but they've taken, you know, they understand we have to have new characters and new stories and opening it up to a larger world. So as long as they don't go back to the well with any of these characters and just say, oh, we need a Luke or a Han, or we need something that folks are familiar with, but you know, take a risk. I mean, that's,
I love that element.
Take a risk, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's where I was so hesitant before, but I like that it actually opens up the universe and the possibilities. It's not just that one little corner. That the Star Wars universe has so much to tell, and getting out of that well, like you said, Nick, I think is crucial to growing the stories, to keeping the stories coming, instead of getting stuck in that loop of here's another Luke, here's another Han. As much as I love those, and I had a hard time myself breaking away from the stories that did not revolve around the ones that I fell in love with, you know, and have followed my entire life. But it's actually a really, really important element.
I definitely think too would be advantageous if, like you had said, Nick, that if we have characters that we don't know their fates, then it adds extra, like the power of Rebels, I'm sure you both agree, was that we didn't know what was going to happen to them.
No.
You know, and again, Nick, you touched on that. And you know, that's why The Force Awakens and Last Jedi have a lot of power and potential in their narrative because of that. And of course, as always, as I've said many times since the show started, if you're going to tell a story, it needs to be a story that is worth telling, not just something to get a character on the screen or to cover something just for lip service. It has to be an important part that actually adds to the mythology isn't just window dressing. So let's go ahead and take our first break, and we're going to come back and talk to Nick about what's going on in the world of Star Wars video games. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Hey, Star Wars fans, huge news. Finn himself, John Boyega, is coming to AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C. Get ready to geek out March 30th through April 1st of 2018. For more info and tickets, visit www.awesomecon.com.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Exciting news for Coffee with Kenobi Patreon contributors. But first, before we get to that, I want to thank Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Brad Tracy, Aaron Harris, Angela Sauce, Mediocre Jedi, Ben Brophy, Daz Davies, Tyler Wiggins, Christo Hayding, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, and Mark Suter. As you know, with our Patreon, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to have something special, a new announcement, and here it is. We're going to have, once a week, a brand new Coffee with Kenobi podcast. This will be an extra one in addition to the one that you've been listening to for almost 5 years now. And it's going to feature myself, Corey Club, and Tom Gross. We're just going to be talking about Star Wars and anything geek for as long as we want to, really. And it's going to come to you at least once a week. We're very, very excited about that. And that's not the only thing, of course, you can get from Patreon. There are coffee mugs, t-shirts, the opportunity to host with me for an entire month. And you can get access to our Discord app where you can have conversations with us anytime you want to. It's basically like a Coffee with Kenobi chat room. And you'll get access to Coffee with Kenobi's Patreon Lens, which is sort of like Insta Story where I can talk to you personally and show you some behind-the-scenes stuff going on with Patreon. So very, very excited about this exclusive show. And all you have to do is contribute $5 a month. You'll get access to a brand new weekly Coffee with Kenobi podcast. So much fun. And again, an extra in addition to what we are already doing on the Coffee with Kenobi Network.
Okay, we are back, and it seems like it's been a while, Nick, since we've had you on to talk about Star Wars video games. So catch us up on what's all been going on.
That's probably for a good reason, Dan, because it's been really slow for the early part of 2018 in terms of video games. There hasn't been much movement. Battlefront 2 did get its first real big update that included more characters like Phasma and Finn and some new battle modes for different maps in the game. But for the most part, and what I'm still trying to find out is if paid loot boxes are definitely coming back or not, because they haven't popped up on my side on the Xbox. But what's next, really? We haven't had any news about a new Lego game. You know, we do have a new Star Wars movie coming out in 3 months, in May, right? It's March. So, but there hasn't been any conversation around any updates for Battlefront for that, or a Lego game for that, like we normally have for every movie that we've seen for Star Wars for the past 5 years. And so it's been really quiet. And that might be something to do with, EA, really taking a hit after the Christmas holiday and the loot box scandal thing that happened. And maybe Disney's kind of reassessing things. Maybe they're reassessing the relationships. They're looking at other current deals we have with other companies that are supposedly making some games still that are coming out that are, you know, more like old Republic and less first-person shooter. So it's actually been really quiet. But that being said, the mobile platform games are just still spinning. You have still 3 games on there that are just putting out new content that's connected to the new trilogy and new characters. So, but for the most part, it's really been all quiet on the video game front this past couple months.
Yeah. And is that kind of nice because you can catch up on some of the mobile games or just sort of really embrace Battlefront 2 a little bit more? Or are you thinking, you know what, it's time for something new?
A little bit of both, actually. So I definitely am a diehard mobile player because it's easier for me to do instead of trying to find some time at home with the kids go to bed. And especially when your five-year-old doesn't want to sleep anymore in her bed for the past 3 weeks. And you're like, what am I going to have time for anything after 9 o'clock? This is not how life should go.
Yes, I understand. So you feel me.
You guys. So, everybody else on here that's not a parent is like, again, with the parent jokes, Nick. So,
it's true.
So it's true. Yeah. So the mobile stuff's so easy to connect to, and, you know, it is fun connecting to other fans that way as well. And we have conversations about what's coming next. And like I was telling, like Angela, we were having a conversation before about folks wanting more Old Republic stuff. Battlefront, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes had a huge addition to their platform in the past couple of months, where they added some old dark side Sith masters from the Old Republic, from that old saga, and that people were just ecstatic. They're like, this is amazing, this is what we wanted. And so they're really excited by that. But I think to a point, Dan, to answer your question, is that, yeah, it's kind of waiting for the next thing too, because Battlefront's been quiet on what they're going to release next. It's been about a month or two now since the Phasma and Finn update came out after the turn of the new year. And so it's always...
How was that, by the way?
It is pretty cool. Battling on Crait and getting a chance to play as Finn or the other Resistance fighters is a lot of fun. That planet is fantastic. The thing though is that I realize from the first Battlefront, and that is a takeaway for this one for me, has been you don't get to choose which planets you want to play on, so you're kind of just thrown into a lottery of which planets you're onloaded to, which can be a little frustrating because you do want to kind of, you know, if your time is limited, like myself, you do want to go to the places that you want to enjoy. You want to go to Endor. You want to go to Crait. You don't necessarily want to go to Kamino for the 18th time in 5 days. And so that kind of is how it goes to a point. But that being said, the game is still, I would say, you know, hands down above Battlefront 1, and, you know, totally worth playing and picking up. But I'm still waiting to see what is coming next. Because that fuels your desire to want to play more, because you want to stay connected. You want to stay up on what's happening next. And, you know, not having those updates, or at least even the teaser of new things coming, does kind of lessen not the thrill, but the desire to consistently play. If you know that this might be it, kind of in the back of your mind, like, is this all that we're going to do? Like, and that's all well and good, but you want to keep people coming back into play. And that's where I think you see the most successful games, especially with the mobile apps, always constantly updating their things, looking at the forums, asking fans for their opinion, really comes into play.
Angela, is there a certain Star Wars video game that you have ever kind of gotten into or really enjoyed?
See here, what was that one that we could never figure out on the Atari 2600? I was talking about that with Nick, where you just flew around AT-AT legs forever and ever and ever. And
oh, that's the Empire Strikes Back.
I think that was probably the one I played the most, because you tried to figure out, what am I supposed to do in this game? I tried some of the mobile games. My skills as a gamer are abysmal, and I try really hard. I gave up on the mobile games pretty quickly when I couldn't even get past the training. And the first time I tried to connect and actually play somebody else, I was slaughtered. I'm very interested in Battlefront, but again, I'm not real up on gaming. So the old school, single button and a joystick, I could play those, but I haven't done a whole lot since.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand that. I still remember, like, on Christmas Day playing Battlefront 2 because our kids got it, and I just thought, when did I become this guy that can't figure out that one joystick moves the skull and one moves the person? Like, when did I become inept? Heck, I'm still used to playing Tecmo Bowl, right?
Yeah. From the Nintendo. Tecmo Bowl.
That was fun.
I'm the person stuck in the corner with my gun shooting in the ceiling, and I can't figure out how to turn the camera and the gun. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, right. I totally empathize with you on that. Absolutely.
My gosh. So Nick, so nothing really going on as far as what's going on, because they're still very much enjoying Battlefront 2. I hope they add like a Rebels to that, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
I will definitely play.
Amazing.
Well, is it because in Battlefront 2 now Hera's blaster is actually in that.
Somebody had
informed me that, hey, at first it's not so great, but if you can get in there and get used to it, it's actually great. Weapon to pick up in Battlefront 2. So I was like, well, you piqued my interest, but not quite enough. Not quite, almost. If they put some Rebels in there, I'm in.
No, totally.
There's a part of the game, too, and I think this is going forward, too, Dan, what you were saying, like with the newness, what's coming next, is Battlefront 2 got everybody bought in by the story, by the campaign mode, by Aiden Versio's story, by the story of what happens to the Empire, how are they defeated, and then them adding on to that story afterwards in the resurrection chapter, where then you start learning more about up to the Last Jedi and up to the Force Awakens. And I think, you know, that it might be where, not where, but why we don't have a lot of news on Star Wars video games right now, because fans really clamored for that campaign mode and a storyline that was canon and not just another video game. So, you know, all these mobile games and stuff, there's nothing really canon about them. They're just great games. And Battlefront Run just had multiplayer. But this really kind of, I think, maybe showed Star Wars, showed EA and Disney and Lucasfilm the idea that fans really want that story, right? That's why the Old Republic games are so popular, is because they have an immense storyline that's very rich and very deep and great characters. It's not just another game. And I think that might be just theorizing here why we haven't seen any news yet behind maybe a Han Solo game or anything with Rebels in the Battlefront series, is because they maybe don't know what they want to put into something that should be consistent canon. Now having just finished up Rebels, Solo's coming out in a couple months, and then we have quite a bit of time between that we know of between anything else that's going to be on the big screen or a little screen, you know, that's going to be around Star Wars. So, and that could be a reason. That could be something that we haven't really thought of yet. But if they want to take the time to come with a good canon story in a video game, take some time. Don't rush it.
So, has there been content in Battlefront that actually is adding to the storyline with episode 7, 8 and going into 9? Are there actually elements that people might not get from reading comics, books, reading the, or watching the films? Are there little tidbits
very much
in there?
So that's
something that would really, that would pull people in. Hey, if there's content here that we're not getting anywhere else, that's important, because that's going to pull new players that might otherwise pass that up. That would be, I think, important.
Well, without spoiling anything, Aiden Versio is much more important to the sequel trilogy than people may realize.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
That's fair to say, isn't it?
Definitely fair to say.
And the compass.
Yeah. Yeah.
The compass that Luke has in Ashto is from Battlefront.
Dan, I think you play Battlefront, but I think one of the best parts, Angela, is the cutscenes between each of the campaign storylines, because there is a part of the story that you get to see Luke in, and this is pretty much right after Return of the Jedi. And they really pulled it off, because I think watching that, he was so Luke Skywalker-ish. Like, it was something that he would have said, and then if you look at how he said it, and where he ends up in The Last Jedi, you kind of puts those things together.
Okay. So I think that's really important. Because, I mean, as someone who is not a big gamer, but is a fan, that content is important enough to really make me reassess how much I would put into trying to play a game like that, even though I'm terrible at it. If the story and the content is worth it, I'm going to go for it, because it's just being part of that. And learning about it, I think.
Oh, for sure. And there are, I guess there's like, and Jerry Cantor said this when he was on recently, but you can watch all of the cinematic clips from Battlefront 2 on YouTube, and I guess that kind of tells us.
That feels like cheating.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't disagree with
you. I do, man.
I want to earn them.
I would feel like I cheapened the experience by doing that.
No, so. I can see that. I totally agree with that. We'll marinate on the pros and cons of said video cinematic that is now on YouTube. We'll go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, Tom's going to bring us the latest in Star Wars news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi family members, we have got some amazing, amazing news. John Boyega, Finn himself, is coming to AwesomeCon in Washington, D.C. Get ready to geek out March 30th to April 1st, and you can look on www.awesomecon.com for all the information. And he's not the only one there. We've got people like Dave Bautista, Jeremy Bullock, Stephen Amell from Green Arrow, Sean Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy, Stan Lee, the Stan Lee from, of course, Marvel Comics fame, Tom Welling from Smallville. Everybody's there. AwesomeCon is an amazing event that Washington, D.C. holds every year. It's located at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C., 801 Mount Vernon Place. And if you are in Washington, D.C., this is the way you can meet Finn. I mean, he doesn't make a lot of convention appearances, so knowing that he's going to be there is incredible. So be sure to tell him that Coffee with Kenobi sent you, and we will have news later on a giveaway for you to get tickets to AwesomeCon. So don't forget, Washington, D.C., March 30th to April 1st, get your chance to see John Boyega, Finn himself. Harry's Razors. What do I love about Harry's Razors? Well, honestly, the shave is great. I love the feel of the razor that they send. The shaving gel is great. It's just very convenient, very easy, and very affordable. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy are two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, so they started Harry's to fix shaving. And Harry stripped out the unnecessary features like a vibrating handle, heating blades, 15 lubricated strips, etc., and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave honestly comes down to good blades, as you know, so Harry's owns this factory, which is great, because that means they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up for Harry's at harrys.com/CWKFamily. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. A $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover that $3 shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which I mentioned before smells really, really good and lathers up great, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/CWKFamily right now. That's harrys.com/CWKFamily.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
We are back, and of course, it is time for our new segment of the show. Tom, what is going on in the world of Star Wars?
Well, Star Wars The Last Jedi is released digitally this week with the great extras coming on Blu-ray and Blu-ray soon. Heroic Hollywood reports a preview of the feature-length documentary titled The Director and the Jedi, where Mark Hamill talks about the creative differences he had with Rian Johnson in regards to the fate of Luke Skywalker. We all know that he didn't want Luke to perish in Episode 8, but he also discusses the issue of making those comments public in the documentary. Then he moves on to discuss how we found peace and purpose in the final scene. Now, that Blu-ray and that full-length documentary and on-demand versions as well of the film go on sale March 27th.
And I want to thank Vudu for sending us all of those digital copies for us to give away to members of our CWK family. I downloaded this today. I haven't had a chance to watch yet, but all of these things, I mean, that what you just mentioned, Tom, of course, seems pretty wonderful. But all these extras, they've really gone above and beyond. In fact, it's probably fair to say there are more bells and whistles on this Blu-ray digital copy of a Star Wars film than probably any of them. There's just so many. In fact, there's an exclusive soundtrack version of the film as well that you can use as an option when you're watching this thing.
Well, I know we had just talked a little while ago on a few shows, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, about all of these documentaries. So I don't remember who it was. Dan had talked about they watched every single one of them, and they really sold me on I need to start watching these.
Yes. Oh, I know. I couldn't believe that. It used to be my favorite thing to watch the extras. Angela, are you much of an extras person on Blu-rays and DVDs?
I do actually like to go back and watch the extras, especially if I'm a big fan of choreography. And so going back to watch any kind of extras that have that choreography in there to see that process from the beginning, those beginning practices through the finished product. But I also love to watch bloopers because it kind of takes away that moment that you think everything is so perfect that you see that finished product, but to see the process is very intriguing, and you see how much goes into behind the scenes and how much work goes into shooting the smallest little piece of footage. You know, 7 seconds took them 5 hours to shoot. It's actually a lot of fun to go back and watch those extras and see what went into it.
No, it's true. I can certainly relate to, like, when I drew that line for that Target commercial, I drew that line over probably 250 times, and it took, you know, probably 3 or 4 hours, and the chalk kept breaking and all this kind of stuff. And then you see it in the commercial, and it's like, you know what, a second and a half. It's
but
amazing.
It takes hours to shoot. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
it's really cool. It's exhausting.
It sort of is, but like, I kept thinking, wow, this is a lot of work. I get why people say it's work, but still, this is the coolest thing ever.
I can't wait for that to come out on March 27th. Well, if you've been inspired by characters like Governor Price or Iden Versio, Anovos has your back with a new costume design. The Star Wars Women's Imperial outfit is now out. It comes in both black and olive gray with the pants and tunic. The hat, belt, pants, tunic are all sold separately, and those pants and tunic will run you about $500. And as of the recording right now, tonight, as we're recording, they are both in stock.
Anovos has the absolute highest quality stuff that there is. And Tom, you met their head of PR, Consetta Parker.
Yes, they have
the best stuff. Do either of you have anything from Anovos?
I do not have anything from Anovos, no.
Oh,
no, that's one of the websites that are banned for me.
cash drain right there.
Right no, there. So, sorry, kids.
I ended up selling quite a few of my older Star Wars collectibles so I could buy the Stormtrooper armor from Anovos a few years ago. It was worth it, even though I still haven't put it together. Because it's impossible. That's why.
It is a lot of work.
I was going to say, I can't wait for you to get that put together, Dan. That'll be epic at a Star Wars Reads Day event, I believe.
I know. I'll wear it every day.
Oh, what are you waiting for?
like the Scarecrow, if I only had a brain. Actually, I'm quite smart, but not when it comes to building Stormtrooper armor.
Armor is a lot of work. It really is.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know how to do it?
I have not done the particular Stormtrooper armor. I have done other forms. I'm a big fan of foam smithing, so I've certainly worked there, and I've watched other costumers work on your Sentra armor, your PVC armor. It is a lot of tedious work, trial and error, and just being willing to get in there and spend a lot of time, but it is always impressive when finished.
So you're saying that we can send the coffee with Kenobi Jet and you can help us with it? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, I would be thrilled to help out with that. You bet.
I have to say, you've given me a term. You've given me the term, but when my daughter listens to this show, foam smithing. Oh boy, my office is going to be. It's not going to be my office anymore. The craft space is going to grow with that term, foam smithing.
Foam smithing. It is a craft. It's a craft that I have picked up over the years, and I am a big fan.
Oh, how cool. Well, our third story tonight comes fresh off of his Academy Award nomination for The Last Jedi. The Juilliard School announced that composer John Williams has left the bequest. Williams, who studied piano under the Juilliard faculty member Rosina Levine, made the announcement at an alumni event in Los Angeles this week. Williams' gift will include his concert music, film scores, marked up film scores, mind you, as well as his sketchbooks. The John Williams Music Collection will be a part of the Peter J. Sharp Special Collections and Juilliard Archives, which also holds collections for such composers as Jenny Torell and Salima Stravinsky. Juilliard's Vice President for Library and Information Resources, Jane Gottlieb, says the John Williams Music Collection will be an extraordinary resource for scholars, students, and all who are interested in understanding his career as a composer and conductor.
Isn't it wonderful? I mean, this man is just, he's an absolute living legend, and not just because of his contributions to anything that Lucasfilm has its stamp on, because of the impact he's had on popular culture, on film lore, on, you know, Oscars, on Juilliard. I mean, that's the highest level of accomplishment in the world of the arts. And I mean, it's just wonderful. I'm very blessed that I got to see him in concert years ago in Chicago. I mean, he's the man.
No, yeah, John, I think it just is really funny when you think of how all these actors and composers and directors and all the folks that get to work on Star Wars are so generous, though. Like, we've seen Force for Change and, you know, even, you know, the George Lucas Educational Foundation. There's still just this movement behind, you know, giving back. And it's never about, like, holding it forever and, you know, not anybody play with these ideas or get look behind the scenes for any of these things. But still this kind of just like generosity from these individuals that have given us such great entertainment for the past 40 years. It's uplifting when you know that they view the world much like many of us do, where you want to give back, you know, twice as much as what you've gotten.
Can you imagine getting a marked up copy of his sheet music? I mean, that would be tremendous.
Oh, it's going to be such a great resource. It's really cool.
I just think of how many years I've listened to his music. And several years ago, I don't know, probably about 18, 20 years ago, I picked up a CD, a double disc CD of all of like just the highlights from his movie career to that point. And just how it's almost the soundtrack of my childhood into young adult, even adult life. And it's so great. And I just, you know, I'm not a music person. By no means am I a music scholar, but I feel like he, at least in my eyes, he made movie music classical music. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's just my short vision, but I just feel like his works are so telling of our time. And so this is great. And as a librarian, of course, mm-hmm. I love special collections, and I just, oh my gosh, it would be just so cool to as you said, Dan, to look through all of that. I'm dying to know what this sketchbook looks like. Yeah, it says the article from Juilliard, or the announcement from Juilliard, said they will have a collection of his concert music, film scores, as well as his sketchbooks.
Interesting. I wonder if that's how he figures out where he wants the music to go. He does his own cues with sketches. That'd be fascinating.
And I heard on Bobby Roberts talk on one of his amazing podcasts where he analyzes the film scores. That John Williams will just, he'll take this, he just sits down at this old piano of his and just kind of writes the music right there at his piano. And just like he has for everything, I mean, from Jaws all the way to now, which is pretty cool. There's a process that he has, and it's obviously worked very, very well for him. Well, Tom, thank you as always for bringing us the latest in Star Wars news.
Oh, it's my pleasure. See you next week.
We'll go ahead and take a break, and when we return, we're going to catch up with Jedi News' James Burns. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. We are back, and we have a very special coffee chat here for all of you today, because we are on with James Burns. James Burns, of course, is an integral part of Star Wars fandom. He is in charge of Jedi News and is one of my absolute favorite people, not just in Star Wars, but just in the world. James, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Although I have a confession, I'm drinking tea.
That's okay. You have a special pass that you're allowed to have tea. You're unique.
Okay.
Just like we said before we started recording, you and I, we're just going to chat because we're friends. And we haven't really gotten a chance to catch up with one another with what's going on in the world of Star Wars because we're very busy with Coffee with Kenobi, yes. Jedi News, and more importantly, our families and our other jobs too. But so this is a perfect opportunity. And so I'm going to try to kind of hit them in order. But let's kind of start with the Rebels finale. What did that do for you?
Wow. That was very much an emotional roller coaster. I was fortunate enough to go to the premiere of The Last Jedi in LA in December. And one of the people that I spent quite a lot of time with Teresa Delgado and Trisha Barr and others, was Dave Filoni. And Dave basically... Well, we were having a conversation and I said, you know, it'd be really nice if you could just show us the last episodes in one chunk, you know, the six or seven episodes in one chunk. He said, I could never, ever do that. I said, why? He said, because after the first four, you will have so many questions and it will change the way that you see certain things. And there's no way that you can go from that straight into the final few episodes. So I sort of knew that going in. And now having watched the episodes, you can obviously understand why he didn't do that and he didn't want to do that, because that episode with Ezra really changed everything that we know about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And we now have a conduit to the world of Star Wars, and the world's the wrong word, galaxy's the wrong word, because you can go anywhere, potentially. And you could change anything if you wanted to. And we don't know whether that's been destroyed for good. We don't know whether you could go to Mortis if you could find it and enact or change something there. But that raised so many questions to me. And
oh yes,
in a positive way. I was happy that that's where it went. And then obviously the finale was amazing, and again leaves you with so many questions as to what's next. Obviously there's been lots and lots of rumors as to what is coming next. I think Star Wars Resistance is sort of trending in terms of a name that Lucasfilm have registered. I know what's next, so I have to be very, very careful. I was actually told what's next at Toy Fair in New York. So I do know what the next animated show is, supposedly. And I'm very, very excited for where we currently are. You know, we have Ezra, who we don't know where he is or what he's doing. We know that Hera and Jason survived the Battle of Endor. And I would imagine that Hera's teaching Jason to fly the ghost, amongst other things.
Sure.
We know that Sabine and Ahsoka are now looking for Ezra.
So many things. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what it's like to talk to James when we're not recording, because James is smart, he knows his stuff, and he's so connected. But he's also a vault. So if there's something there, he's not going to let you know, but he definitely is good about hinting. This is why you're one of the primary influencers in Star Wars fandom, of course. I want to go back to what you said about A World Between Worlds. I love that it's a space between spaces, because it reminds me of Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I still maintain is my second favorite Indiana Jones film, which that's a story for another time, of course. But yeah, the fact that they've changed the scope of what can happen in Star Wars, I love. I always want to be challenged intellectually, particularly with Star Wars. And I like that they're constantly inventing new ways of telling stories, but still holding true to what this iconic franchise is all about. And I love also, I'd heard some consternation about, well, they sure skipped a lot between, you know, at the end of Rebels going all the way to the end of Jedi. But that's wonderful, because it opens up so many opportunities for stories and storytelling, which is, again, the more Star Wars we can get, that's quality. I've always wanted more Star Wars, as long as it's stories that need to be told. And Dave is such a master that I think he is clearly going in that direction. Speaking of new stories, Jon Favreau is going to give us the live-action Star Wars series that we've been waiting for a long time. What do you think about that?
I'm very, very excited for that.
You're probably in it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I've got nothing to do with that. I don't know anything about it. I'm really, really excited for this. The only thing that obviously frustrates me is the comments that we've seen on social media about the fact that it's a white person, male, creating the show. And I just want to remind people that Lucasfilm were one of the very, very first companies to have a female president in terms of the film industry. This is to have a female president. The story group is run by a black African Caribbean woman. So just stop a little bit when you think about those things. And I don't know what you think, Dan, but I genuinely think that Lucasfilm are choosing the right people for the jobs. And I'm sure the day will come when there are women in the right places that they will offer those jobs to, as they have with the story group and as they have with Lucasfilm as a whole. So, you know, just hold back a little bit on that vitriol and just embrace it for what it is, and be excited that we're actually getting a live action Star Wars TV show coming to our screens probably towards the end of 2019, maybe 2020. How exciting is that? That's something that we've wanted for forever.
Oh, here, here. And I'm glad that you said that we did, because Lucasfilm is one of the more innovative companies in Hollywood for the important, crucial reasons that you said behind the camera and also in front of the camera. All of the Star Wars films that have been on since Disney took over have been focused on a central female figure who is the head of the story. I mean, of course, there are a number of other characters that are heroes and are also extremely important. But Rey, Jyn Erso, they're paramount to these stories. And I love, and I said this earlier in the show, but I love that we're in a place with Star Wars where when I'm watching this, or I'm watching Rebels or whatever, I don't think, oh, there's a male character. Oh, there's a female character. I think, oh, there's some cool characters. And each one has the potential to completely take over and rescue the galaxy. And to me, that is what it's all about. It's very similar to hoping that, you know, we live in a world where, to borrow from Black Panther, we're all one tribe. We all look at each other equally. And yes, of course, we want there to be people to run behind the camera too. And I believe very much in Lucasfilm's process. I do think that when the right story and the right thing comes along, I think they will pick the right person.
I completely, completely agree with you. And I think it will come, and I don't think it's far away, but let's just focus on the fact that we are getting these things, and we've had Forces of Destiny, and we've had so many other things, and other central characters. We've only got to go back to December and Kelly Marie Tran playing Rose Tico, and you know, Admiral Holdo. I mean, there are just so many strong female characters. And if you go back to 1977, when female characters weren't prevalent at all, really, we had the first self-rescuing princess, Carrie Fisher herself, as a star of a science fiction film. I mean, come on.
That's pretty specific, especially in a time when that just wasn't happening.
Correct. Correct.
And really, after that, did it really happen? Not to the degree that it could have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, people need to just calm down a little bit. I think Star Wars has gone so far since Disney has, since Disney came in and bought it, and since the presidency changed, etc. And they've gone to so, well, they've literally gone from one extreme to another. And I think it's time for, well, I think things are beginning to balance out, as they should. But I think they're choosing the right people for the jobs. And that's what counts, in my opinion. We want the right people telling the right Star Wars stories. And if you look behind the scenes at Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, all of the main animators and people behind that are all women too. So they don't get enough credit. They don't, you know, people don't speak about that. But Dave Filoni will be the first to scream and shout about the fact that, you know, he's had a very, very strong female presence in those shows, as well as the characters themselves.
Very much so. Very much so. Do you have a particular area or era of Star Wars mythology that you would be excited about seeing the live action series attack? And clearly, we'd be happy with anything as long as it's a story well told, and there's no reason to think that it won't be. But is there a certain area you'd love to see?
I would love to see something along the lines of Rogue Squadron. I think that would be a really, really fascinating thing to watch. Although, I mean, one of my favorite series from the last 10, 15 years was Battlestar Galactica. I think that did phenomenally well in terms of taking sci-fi or the sci-fi genre and bringing it to the small screen. If people haven't seen that, I seriously suggest that you watch it. I was introduced to it by Philip Wise of Rebel Scum, who, when I visited him at his Dallas workshop, was telling me that I had to watch this show, and I got back to the UK and I watched it, and it was absolutely amazing. And I binge watched the whole thing, and then I watched it again with my wife. And to me, that's what I want Star Wars to be. I think having a show like that that talks to us about some of the not so centralized characters, some of the characters that are involved in the periphery, in battles and other things, would be amazing to see. And them reaching out to different planets and going on different missions, and those missions spanning maybe a series or maybe half a series, and they can then interact with potentially some of those central characters that we've come to know and love. So for me, something like that I think would work incredibly well. I think obviously we've got a 30-year period between Jedi and Episode 7 that we don't know an awful lot about. We've got snippets of information about that period, but we don't know everything that went on. We're learning more as every new thing comes out, every new novel comes out, every new film comes out. We're learning little tiny bits, but there's a lot that we don't know. They haven't really gone back beyond Episode 1 yet in any great detail, so there's a lot of rich material that they could bring to the screen from there. So there is a lot that they could go and do. So to be honest, I'd be happy with anything, but I think setting it amongst those pilots would be a really interesting thing to do. And now that those pilots, again, and I hate to say it, but we know that we can have female pilots, male pilots, we can have aliens as pilots, as we've seen in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, I think that'd be a fascinating story to tell.
Oh, the Battlestar Galactica thing is an excellent call. That's easily one of my top five favorite shows of all time. Just the suspense, the character, the development of story, and how it all connects. That was a genius show. And if they can get even half as strong as that, then we are in for an amazing treat.
Yeah,
I sort of look at this as kind of like the main source of Star Wars entertainment that we're going to get that's not on a page. Before we get Episode 9, I feel like that's kind of where they're going to put some of it, maybe. Of course, they haven't really announced anything as far as times or anything, except besides the fact that Jon Favreau is doing it. For me, I've always liked the of course, original trilogy era. That's always been my wheelhouse, probably yours as well. But I feel like we've got a plethora of riches in that area now with the comics, with Rebels, and with all the other things going on with Rogue One. But I think we've got a lot of space. Obviously, the time between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens is ripe for mining because it's a long, long 30-year area here. But I feel like that's probably going to go fairly untouched until we see Episode 9. Again, hard to say. I certainly don't know for sure, but I'm interested. I feel like the space between Empire and Jedi is largely untouched, and I can't imagine that they will go in that direction because
it's too short. Time spirit.
Yeah, it's too short.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a year, right?
Yeah.
And they're not going to use Luke and Han and Leia because it's highly unlikely they would recast Han Solo for a third time.
Yeah.
So that probably won't happen, but anything they do, I think, is going to be pretty great. Have you had a chance to peruse any of the extras in The Last Jedi Blu-ray or digital release?
So this is where it's sort of frustrating for us, because here in the UK, we haven't even officially seen the last episode of Rebels, and we don't get the Blu-ray till later in the month, or even the digital release. So I haven't seen the extras as yet, unfortunately, apart from the clips that have been online. Bit frustrating, because you would think in this day and age that they would allow all of this to come out on the same day. And the fact that we're only getting one episode of Rebels a week at the moment means that we've still got like 3 weeks to go before the finale actually airs here. So we're having to be really, really careful when talking to some people about what's going on. And some people are really trying hard to avoid spoilers.
That's awful. Why would they do that when the UK is, if it's not, it's like the number two highest ranked area for Star Wars fans besides the United States, right?
Exactly. Why would they? That's a really, really good question that I would love to know. So Disney, Lucasfilm, if you're listening, please, please get in touch and tell us why you do strange things like this when, you know, the film comes out. I mean, we got The Last Jedi the day before you, which I think is crazy as well. But, you know, I think they need to be doing things like they're doing with Avengers Infinity War. It's coming out on the same day everywhere. I mean, that should be the norm with these sort of releases in this day and age. I don't understand why we have to wait. To me, that's crazy. That is a frustration of mine, a big frustration of mine.
And it's a very valid one that I'm sure a lot of our listeners can completely relate to. Let's hope that they see their way to making this more equal, because you don't need to worry about building hype. The hype is already there. And all we want to do is support it and embrace it and share this incredible stuff with so many fans. And speaking of that, James, it's been an absolute pleasure as always having you on Coffee with Kenobi. Where can people get in touch with you and find your amazing contributions to Star Wars fandom?
Well, thank you very, very much for all your kind words, Dan. You are an amazing person too, and I'm so proud and privileged to call you a friend.
Thank you.
People, absolute pleasure. People can find me on Jedi News. It's Jedi News UK everywhere apart from Facebook, where it's just Jedi News. Or me personally, it's at Planet Burns on Facebook and Twitter.
And obviously, if Jedi News isn't bookmarked as is your first place to go when you log on, then you should do that now, because that's where the best Star Wars news comes from. James, thanks again so much. We're going to go ahead and take our last break, and when we come back, we'll close out the show. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors. One Nation Coffee, the official coffee of Coffee with Kenobi, which can be found at onenationcoffee.com. It smells amazing and tastes even better. I'd also like to thank Awesome Con, Harry's Razors, and the Star Wars Digital card trader collecting app from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, and would love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own iTunes feeds now.
A
huge thank you to Angela Sauce and Nick Deco for joining us today. Where can listeners find each of you and your contributions to Star Wars fandom? And Angela, let's start with you.
I can be found on Twitter at crisscross applesauce. That's C-R-I-S-S cross with an X. Applesauce is my last name, S-A-U-S, at Twitter. And it's not all Star Wars content. It's kind of a mix of everything. I have an Instagram under the same name as well.
And go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, and you guys can obviously find me, Nick Deco, on Twitter, where pretty much everything I tweet is Star Wars, because otherwise I'd probably get in trouble at work for tweeting about other stuff if they didn't think it was important. So.
Well, we'll definitely put links to both of your Twitter accounts in our show notes. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars discussion. This is a podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.
Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget AwesomeCon is March 30th through Sunday, April 1st, where John Boyega is going to be there himself. And that's amazing. It's at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. And if you go to our website right now, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, you can win admission for two for the weekend at the con. So be sure to check out the website, and I hope you will let us know how awesome AwesomeCon is going to be.